Joshua chapter number 10 in your Bibles this evening. Appreciate that, ladies. Miss Eloise, do you sing? Okay. I was going to ask if you'd sing a special, but I guess not. Nothing like being put on the spot, right? All right. Joshua chapter number 10 in your Bibles this evening. And it's Sunday morning. We've been going through the book of Joshua. Of course, as you have known, the last 3 weeks I've kind of taken a side road. And just haven't felt at liberty to preach this message. And Lord's just given me some different things to preach on. And of course, we preached Mother's Day and to preach about Hannah being that godly mom. And then Proverbs 23:23 last week about buy the truth and sell it not. And boy, what an important truth that is. And then we just talked about the purpose statement of our life. What was Paul's purpose statement this morning? And there was five things that he did in his life to see that purpose accomplished. His goal and his plan was to one day hear the Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And what did Paul implement into his life to see those goals accomplished? And how important it is to make sure that we're focused on the Lord, and to make sure we're focused on our faith, and to make sure we're finishing the course, and to make sure that we're fighting the good fight of faith, and living in line of that fact that this could be our last day here on this earth. Those were the five motivating factors that kept Paul on that course to see his purpose fulfilled. But as we come to Joshua chapter number 10 tonight, we've been going through the book of Joshua, and in Joshua chapter 9, the Bible tells us a story about the Israelites and their alliance with Gibeon. Remember, Gibeon was a nation, and it was a people that were heathens. And they came to Joshua, and they wearing that old clothing and dusty, and boy, their food was moldy, the bread was moldy, and their liquid was just beat up, and it looked like they had journeyed from a far distance. And they said, "Joshua, we've come to make peace with you because we've heard about what God's done." And Joshua and the elders didn't pray about it. They just said, "All right, we're peaceful, we're friends, we're hooked up together, man, we're on the same team, and this is going to be great." Well, they journeyed, I believe it was 3 days' journey, maybe 5 days, I forget the exact, but they journeyed just a couple days, and down the road they ran into Gibeon. And they said, "Man, what did you guys do?" And they said, "Well, we knew we didn't want to be wiped out, and so we made peace with you," and the Israelites kept that peace. And I think about, as I've studied Gibeon and as I've looked at their lives, you know, I'm so thankful for God's grace. And I'm so thankful that God has not only adopted, or not only, you know, had his chosen few, but I'm so thankful that God went from the Jews to the Gentiles. And it talks about being grafted in. And boy, the Gentiles have been grafted in, and we're part of the family of God. And that's just God's mercy and God's grace. You know, God could have said to Joshua, "Wipe them out." God could have said, "You know what, they lied to you, so destroy them." But no, God's grace was upon Gibeon. And I'm so thankful that God's grace was given to me. I accepted Christ to be my Savior. Hallelujah for that. And as we come to Joshua chapter number 10, the Bible tells us a story of really an amazing, really two different stories all tied in together into one. And the first part of the story, it deals with Gibeon. And what happened when Gibeon yoked up with Israel? Notice there in verse number 1 of chapter number 10, it said, "Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem," by the way, how would you like to have that for your name? I probably slaughtered it. I don't know if you can tell, but I did really bad in grammar growing up. And so that's why I just memorized the whole Bible, okay? I didn't memorize the whole Bible. But poor guy, Adonizedek. All right, king of Jerusalem. We'll just call him A.D., all right? But notice what the king of Jerusalem did. It says, when he had heard how Joshua had taken Ai, and had utterly destroyed it, and as he had done to Jericho and her kings, so had he done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel, and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, big A.D., king of Jerusalem, sent to this other king and these other kings, and notice in verse 4 it says, "Come up with me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel." Man, the story goes on. Here's the king. Here's five kings they yoke up together.
And they said, here's our game plan. Gibeon, of course, has turned their back upon us, and they decided to become friends with the Israelites. And so they said, what we're going to do is we're going to wipe them out. We're going to destroy them. We're going to do everything in our power to wipe them out and to take over their city, because it is a royal city. It is a strong city. It is a city, and it is a people that are to be feared. They're mighty men of valor. And you know, the reality is, child of God, when we try to step out for God, when we align ourselves with where God would have us to be, there will be the haters. There will be those that are opposed to your step of faith. Every time you read about somebody stepping out for God, man, there's always somebody standing in the way. I think about the story of Gideon. Remember when God said to Gideon, I want you to lead my people out of slavery. He said, I want you to be a leader. Remember, Gideon gave his excuses and finally said, all right, God, I'll serve you. And the Bible says that he went down and tore down the grove. And boy, he was, you know, trying to purify the Israel to go on for God. And what happened? Man, when the people woke up the next morning and saw their grove tore down, they got mad at Gideon. They wanted to kill him. Why? Because Gideon had decided he was going to be on God's side. And you go down the list in the Word of God, David, heard about Goliath. You know, Goliath defied the armies of Israel, defied God. David looked around and said, is there somebody that can go do this? And remember, David's older brother said, hey, what about your few little sheep? You belittle them. You know, David, you're nobody. You can't do this. And yet David looked at his brother and said, hey, is there not a cause? And David said, you know what? You're not willing to do it. King Saul's not willing to do it. I'm willing to do it. Now get out of my way and let me do something for God. And the Gibeonites, men, they decided to yoke up with the Israelites, and the enemies came, and they were trying to battle them, and they were trying to destroy them. Let me say, child of God, tonight, you will go home, and you've been in church today. Man, you've gotten some meat. You've gotten some spiritual food to help you. Tonight, you will go home, and you will face the battles. Tomorrow morning, guarantee it. Mark it down. You will get up, and you will face the battles. Number one battle will be yourself, you know. Do I want to get out of bed and read my Bible? Do I want to get out of my bed and get on my knees and spend some time with God in prayer? And boy, you'll get up, and boy, you better defeat your own self, you know, your selfish flesh. And you better get up and do what's right. And then you'll drive to work, and you'll get mad at somebody cutting you off on the way to work, right? And of course, Miss Janice never does, and I don't. We just drive real fast, right? But you know, you'll face that struggle, right? And then you'll have the 8:30 meeting with the boss, you know. And boy, you'll get the rundown for the week, and just the struggles throughout the week. We will face battles. The Bible says that we ought to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith, and down the list, the sword of the Spirit. And then we got to make sure that we are engaged in the battle. Then we can't just haphazardly say, oh, no big deal, I'm not going to struggle. No, when temptation comes knocking your way, when Satan tries to discourage you, when others try to get you downhearted and defeat him, then simply determine in your heart that it doesn't matter what may come my way, I'm going to keep on going forward for God. But the Gibeonites, man, they're in a battle. They're in a struggle. What are we going to do? And so I love what Gibeon did. It says over there in verse number 6, it says, and the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servant. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the mighty men of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them in thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night, and the Lord discomforted them before Israel, and slew them with the great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah, and unto Micadah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. There were more which died with the hailstones than
they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And look in verse number 12. It says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of all Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon. And thou moon in the valley of Ajalon, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of the man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Tonight, I'd really like to focus on that verse in verse 14, and then go back and look at the story. The Bible says that there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. I'd like to preach this evening on the subject, the greatest day of your life. How would you like to have today be the greatest day of your life? I was sitting at Longhorn on Tuesday. I was over in Augusta, Georgia, preaching. I was with the pastor. We're, you know, just walked in. You know, I sat down, and the hostess looked at both me and Pastor Hickson, and she said, "How's your day going?" And I looked at her. I said, "Ma'am," I said, "this is the fourth greatest day of my life." She caught her by surprise. She's like, "The fourth greatest day of your life? What was the first greatest day? What was your best day?" I said, "Well, ma'am, the best day of my life was when I trusted Christ to be my Savior." And I hope you can look back to that day in your life when you trusted Christ to be your Savior. And boy, that is the highlight of my life. Man, 11-year-old boy, lost and going to hell. Knew I was guilty before God, knew that I was a sinner, and the only way to go to heaven was Jesus Christ. Jesus said it this way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." That day I trusted Christ to be my Savior, the greatest day of my life. I said the second greatest day of my life was when I saw my kids come to Christ. I said, "Man, that's one big prayer that I had." Saw Josiah, saw Lily come to know Christ. Second greatest day of my life. The third greatest day of my life was when I married my beautiful bride. And I'm glad she said yes and didn't run away that day. I said, "The fourth greatest day is today here in Augusta, Georgia." She said, "Why is today the greatest day?" Oh, I said, "Really, it's tied with every other day." I said, "But it all stands out, you know." But the greatest day in Israel's day. What a wonderful story for Israel. Man, God allowed them to experience a great victory. God allowed them to see his miraculous hand upon that nation. Why? Why was it the greatest day of their life? How can you and I experience the greatest day in our lives? I see, first of all, it was the greatest day in their life because they had God's promises. Look in verse number 8. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night." I see, first of all, the reason they had the greatest day of their life is because they had the promises of God. Friend, no matter where you're at, no matter what you may be going through, it doesn't matter if you're facing cancer, doesn't matter if you're going through a divorce, doesn't matter if your kids are prodigal kids and running from God, it doesn't matter if there's crazy drama in your home, doesn't matter if you don't have two pennies to rub together in your bank account, it does not matter what you're going through, you can go through the midst of the storm and have the peace of God. Why? Because you've got the promises of God's word. You say, "Pastor, what are some of the promises in God's word that I can cling to? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the struggle that I'm facing." Hey, let me remind you this evening of some of God's promises. God's promises, by the way, aren't empty promises. They're not Indian giver promises. They're not, "Well, if I feel like it, there'll be promises." No, let me give you some promises in God's word. 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Hey, I'm preaching tonight. No matter what you go through, you can know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. You can be beyond a shadow of doubt. Doesn't matter if tonight's the last night, you can know that you're going to heaven. I wonder, can you claim that promise? Has there been that time in your life that you trusted Christ to be your Savior? Not only is the assurance of salvation, but it says in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Man, you can claim that through the darkest valley of your life. You say, "Well, Pastor, I just lost somebody near to me." Hey, you're walking through that valley of the shadow of death. Man, he said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." You can cling to that promise. When you feel like you're sinking, you feel like there's no hope, you're dark, weary, discouraged, hey, you can claim Psalm 23. You can claim 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins,
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can claim 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. Man, you can claim that promise, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You can claim Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the last day upon this earth, and though my skin warms to destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold none other, though my reins be consumed within me. You can claim the absolute promise of the Word of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then there Joshua was on that day. There the Israelites were getting ready to go battle Gibeon, and God said to Joshua, he said, Joshua, I just want you to know, you can have the greatest day of your life. This can be the top notch, the highlight of your life. Why? Because they had the promises of God's Word. Can I ask you tonight, child of God, are you clinging to the promises of God's Word? Hey, God said, I will never leave thee. Joshua, I'll be with you. You go up there, you'll win the battle. I'm on your side. It's not like when you went and battled at Ai in your flesh. Hey, it's not like when you made the deal with Gibeon without seeking me. God said, I promise you, you've sought me, you've spent time with me, you're fulfilling your word to Gibeon, you're in the will of God, I'm with you, go up there and win the battle for me. Friend, tonight, let me encourage you, you're in the will of God. Man, stay faithful and true because you've got the promises of God's Word. The blessing of this, we see the Bible assurances, the Bible promises, but I'm so thankful for the absolute God gave the victory. Our victory is not in the arm of the flesh, but it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. He and He alone gives us the victory. So no matter what you're facing, you can go and do the will of God. They went and they battled there at Gibeon. By the way, Gibeon, you understand, they were the stronghold. They were the power. They were the big men. They were the mighty men. I think about when it comes to football. Of course, you know, men, we like to talk about football, I guess, right? I don't know why. But you know, I think about football teams, right? Hey, it's like the New England Patriots were Gibeon. All right, it's like the Pee Wee Leagues were the other ones, all right? I mean, the Gibeonites, they were the strong ones. And, man, they were going to go battle the big guys, all right? The five kings are going to battle. And Joshua goes. The Israelites go. The mighty men of valor go. The people of war, they go. They travel all night, man. They go to win the battle there at Gibeon. But notice, second of all, not only do we see they had the greatest day of their life, but notice, second of all, the reason they had the greatest day of their life was because they had God's power. Look in verse number 9. It says, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. By the way, child of God, whatever God tells you to do, do it quickly. Don't procrastinate. If God tells you to tell somebody about Jesus Christ, then do it. I was a couple days ago, I was at Dunkin' Donuts, and you know, I got my coffee, you know, hung out with some of the guys there, just chit-chatting, and I was leaving, and there was a couple guys that were sitting there at the table. And God impressed my heart. He said, I want you to go talk to them. I want you to go witness to them. And I was like, I've got to go. I've got different plans. And I hopped in my car. And I know you're all spiritual, all right. And you know, God impresses something like that. You're like right away obedient. But I just sat and turned the car on, cranked the air condition. And then I'm just sitting there. God's just, Holy Spirit's just dealing with me, pounding me. Hey, go give them a gospel tract. Go give them an invitation to the church. Finally, I'm like, all right, I'm not going to continue to waste gas arguing with God, you know. So I got out, you know, went up to him and said, hey, I'm Pastor Schwanky, Huntsville Bible Baptist Church. Where do you guys go to church? And that started the conversation. And boy, just opened it up. And boy, just wide open, here were two guys that were searching. You know, you never know who you're going to run into. You never know who you're going to meet that when God impresses you to witness for him. And whatever God tells you to do, God said to the Israelites, hey, you go up and battle there with Gibeon. And they said, you know what we're not going to do? We're not going to sit back and play tiddlywinks. We're not going to sit back and, well, you know, play Uno or, you know, go fish. No, they said, we're going to go and do what God's called us to do. And they obeyed with speed. That ought to be our motto. You know, I think about with our kids, we're teaching them to obey right away, right? And I think, wasn't it Pastor Pirate that sang that song, to delay is to disobey? Is that Pastor Pirate? Yeah. Yeah, how many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know Pastor Pirate? All right, Pastor Pirate's so awesome and epic, right? By the way, Chrissy got to cheerlead at Bob Jones University with Pixie Pirate, right? So if you would like her autograph, you can get her autograph, all right? But I've never met Patch, all right? But I think he was the one that said, you know, that little song, to delay is to disobey, you know? And what's God want? He wants me to obey right away. So we see they obeyed. They followed God's promises. Number two, they had God's power. Verse number 10, look at the story. So the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. And chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them. I think about the story. Notice what it says. It says the Lord discomfited them. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that Joshua did. It does not say that the military guys from West Point won the battle. No, the Lord did something. Hey, what did they experience? That they experienced the Lord's power. They experienced God's power upon their life. The Lord, I see in the story, I see first of all how the Lord spooked them. So the Lord discomforted them before Israel. What did God do? God allowed them to get nervous. You remember the story of Gideon? I mentioned Gideon earlier, but remember when Gideon was with the 300 men? If you've read the story, I would assume most of you have tonight. You remember the story how it went from 32,000 to 10,000, and God said, you got too many. And it went from 10,000 to 300. And God said, Gideon, by these 300, I'm going to give the victory. Well, right after God says that, the Bible begins to describe what was going on in the camp of the Midianites. The Bible says that there were camels. There were a bunch of camels there on that day with the army. And the Bible says there was 180,000 people. So there they are. They're in the valley. They're in the camp. And nighttime rolls around. There goes Gideon. They got the trumpet. They got the torch. They got the pottery on top of the torch so the enemy can't see it. They get in their places surrounding the camp on the mountaintops, right? And they blow the trumpet. They break the pitcher. They hold up the light and they sing shout the sword of the Lord into Gideon. Well, the Bible says that when that took place, all of a sudden, there was chaos. Mad chaos was in the camp. You know why? It was because the camels got spooked. If you know anything about camels, and I did not know anything about camels until I was reading a commentary on that story. Camels spook easy. And when they spook, they go crazy. And so it's amazing that there was camels in the camp. They shouted, they blew the trumpets, and all of a sudden, man, the camels go crazy. There was two different armies that spoke two different languages, and they're going back and forth like Chinese and Spanish, man, just wide open. They're going yakking back and forth, and then they start fighting each other. What did the Lord do with Gideon? He discomforted them. What did God do here in this story? God discomforted them. God allowed them to be spooked. God allowed them to be discouraged. God allowed them to get nervous. Why? Because, man, God was on the Israelite side. So we see he spooked them. Number two, the Bible says in verse number 10, it says, and the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. What did the Lord do? God allowed in verse 11, it says, and it came to pass as they fled before Israel and were going in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them, and they died. What did God do? God allowed there to be big hailstones. Man, big stones. God stoned them. He spooked them. He slew them, and he stoned them. Man, God did an amazing miracle on that day. Man, there the enemies are at, and there God intervened, and God allowed the hail to fall from heaven. You know what's amazing is not one hailstone hit the Israelites. Not one stone hit the Gibeonites. That's so encouraging to me, because you know what? As I do the will of God, you know what? The Lord protects me, and the Lord is with me. And no matter what you're facing, hey, if God allows you to go through cancer, praise God, he'll give you the grace and strength. But listen, don't worry about it. God's on your side. They were able to experience God's victory. Hailstone is not a common way to win a battle. You know, if you were to go to the Pentagon, or I guess even here, Redstone, you know, and you were to sit in on the high-level meetings, and you were to talk about how to win a battle. You know, one thing that would not be brought up would be, hey, let's rain hail from heaven, all right? It'd be like, let's go get some bombs and drop them on the enemy, right? I mean, that's how we would fight. You know, we would fight, you know, back in the Civil War, what do? They had guns and pointed at each other, you know? And, man, they would, you know, shoot cannons. That was the old school way, but God had a different way of fighting. Man, the hailstone fell. And by the way, God's methods are not always man's methods. I think about how in the days of Noah, God used rain to judge the world. You know, that was a unfamiliar tactic. They had not experienced rain before then, and yet God used that. I think about there as Israel left Egypt and they went through the Red Sea. Hey, that had never happened before. God parting water, but they walked through on dry ground. And then that same parcel of ground the Egyptians tried to follow in, and God used that Red Sea to kill the Egyptian army. One day God's going to use fire to destroy the earth. And by the way, they talk about global warming. Global warming is coming, all right? One day, the Bible says the earth is going to be burnt up with fire. And fire is a purifier, and that's what God said in Revelation, that the fire is what God's going to use one day. And God's methods and God's ways are not always man's ways. But the Israelites won the battle. Why? Because they had God's power. So I wonder tonight, do you have God's power upon your life? Is God with you? Are you walking with God? Are you going God's direction? It says about Enoch. We'll talk about him here in a couple weeks and on Wednesday nights. But the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. Bible didn't say that God walked with Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Simply put, God was going this direction. Enoch said, I'm going that direction too. He said, I want to go that way. I want to yoke up with that. I was talking to some men this week about marketing. And I went to a conference on marketing and just different things of learning. I learned a lot of information about how to deal with Google, how to deal with Facebook, how to deal with a tech-savvy generation we're growing up in. By the way, my mind is like spinning like crazy when they got don't you love those techie folks? You know what I'm talking about? You know, the ones that walk around, they're like, yeah, I got my brand new iPhone and my iPad, and like kind of like they're just smart. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, those ones that float on cloud nine. I'm like, you know, I know how to turn the computer on. And if it's not working, I just turn it off. You know, that's how I roll. But man, they were talking. But you know, what's amazing and insane is they talked about surrounding yourselves with people that are going the same direction you're going. And you get around with anybody, that's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you, you know, if you want to be successful in real estate, get around successful real estate agents. If you want to be successful in stocks, get around the best stock people that you know. And who you surround yourself is the direction you're going. You know what I want in my life? I want to walk with God. I want to go the direction God's going. And the Israelites had the power of God upon their life. Why? Because they decided we're going to follow God's word. They followed the will of God. They followed the word of God. So they won the battle. Why? Because they had God's promises. Because they saw God's power. But notice thirdly in verse number 12, how they experienced answered prayer. It says, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of the Lord. So get this. He's speaking to the Lord. And while he's speaking, he says in front of the in the sight of Israel, he says, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of the Lamb, for the Lord fought for Israel. What an amazing story. How was it the greatest day in their life? Why was it a highlight for Israel? Because not only did they have the promise of God, not only did they have the power of God, but they saw the Lord answer prayer. I'll tell you what's amazing is when God answers specific prayer. Hey, you want to get excited? You want to get pumped up? Is when you see God move and God work and God do something that only God can do. Man, we're going through prayer Sunday morning for Sunday school. And man, if we were to truly get a hold of prayer, if we were to truly understand it, that we have access to the throne of God and we can bring our petitions before the throne of grace, I'll tell you what, it'll add a spring in your step. Man, it'll give you the excitement and the joy. Why? Because God desires to answer his people's prayers. I wonder, are you an individual that's seeing prayer answered? You know, I meet a lot of Christians, boy, they're just Eeyore, down, discouraged. Why? They're not experienced answered prayer. When's the last time you saw God answer specific prayer in your life? When's the last time that God answered something that only God could answer? You know, sometimes we pray, Lord, you know, would you meet this bill? And you know that you just cashed out your credit card statement bonus rewards, and so you know that $225 check is coming. You know, well, I need $200 for this bill. Lord, would you provide it? Oh, next day. That's not answer. You know, what specific answers to prayer have you seen? Joshua said, God, here's what I want. I want something that's never been done before. God, I want you to stop the sun from setting, and I want the moon to stay right where it's at because it's rising. And God, I want you to just hold it off till we win the battle. You know what's amazing? They were busy doing the will of God. And they said, God, we can't go to bed. God, we're so excited about what you're doing. God, you just got to give us a little bit more time. I'm so pumped up about your will and getting the job done for you, defeating this enemy. Hey, God, just hold off on putting the sun down. Let us have a little bit more fun serving you. But I'll tell you what, serving God is exciting.
Winning a battle for God is exciting. And God answered the prayer of Joshua. The sun stood still. Nobody had ever experienced that before. By the way, let me just say this. Nobody had ever gotten out of prison like Peter did in the book of Acts. Nobody ever walked on water like Peter walked on. Nobody ever called down fire from heaven like Elijah did. But you know what? The same God of Elijah and the same God of Peter and the same God in the book of Acts is the same God we serve today. You say, Pastor, my brother is hardened. He'll never get saved. You know what? Keep on praying. Because God is the one that softens the hearts. And God is the one that can answer. God is the God of the impossible. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. It says seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. The Bible says if we ask in faith believing, then God's going to answer our prayers. I wonder, what are you asking God to do that's impossible? Hey, can I be honest with you? In human flesh, it's impossible for this church to grow. You realize that? It's impossible. Yeah, we can go use man's methods, but you know what? You know how this church can grow? By God doing something. You know anything about Vacation Bible School? You know what? In man's flesh, you know what? We're going to have our three kids. Four kids, whatever we got. You know, and that's it. You know, that's that. But you know what? With God, all things are possible. You know, man, I think about the baptismal tank. Man, I want to see that thing get filled. I want to see people get saved. But you know what? Saving souls, it's impossible. But you know what? God's the God of the impossible. And so I wonder tonight, what are you asking God to do? What are you asking God to do that's impossible? It was the greatest day for Joshua, the greatest day for the Israelites. Why? Because they saw God answered prayer. You see God answered prayer in your life, it'll transform you. And it'll make you want to see God continue to do more and more and more. And so I wonder tonight, child of God, would you be an individual that clings to the promise of God's word? Would you be an individual that desires to see God's power? And would you be an individual tonight that would simply continue to ask in faith, desiring to see God answer prayer? He wants to hear us. He wants to answer. We've got to do our job, and we've got to ask Him. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you for your reminder, Lord, you desire to hear our prayers, you desire to answer them. God, you want us to be on your team. Lord, you want to give victory for us. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight that we can cling to your promises. And so I pray, Lord, that these truths would be a part of our life this week. Father, help us to cling to you. Help us to love you. And Lord, I pray that we keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In your precious name we thank you. Amen.